Good morning, Colorado. You're listening to the Daily Sunup. The Daily Sunup podcast is a conversation with the Colorado Sun. See our trust indicators at coloradosun.com/ethics. It's Thursday, March 21st. Today, John Ingold and Michael Booth talk about some eye-opening Great Outdoors Colorado grants and families winning better treatment from the state Medicaid system. Before we begin, thanks for listening to the Daily Sunup from the Colorado Sun. Please take a moment to rate and review us in your podcast player. Tell us what you think of the show, share your ideas, and help us reach new listeners. Thank you. Now, let's go back in time with some Colorado history. On this day in 1864, President Abraham Lincoln signed an act allowing Colorado Territory residents to draft a state constitution and seek union membership. He aimed to secure electoral support during the Civil War. Despite Lincoln's intentions, Colorado's path to statehood faced hurdles, including divided Republican support and opposition from Democratic-leaning areas. Congress rejected Colorado's 1865 Constitution due to disputes over its legitimacy and the horrors of the Sand Creek Massacre. President Andrew Johnson's vetoes in 1866 and 1867, citing insufficient population enthusiasm, further delayed statehood. Amidst local and federal political feuds, an 1875 Enabling Act led to a successful constitution draft in Denver. Voters approved this constitution on July 1, 1876, and President Ulysses S. Grant officially welcomed Colorado into the Union a month later, 12 years after the initial attempt. Before we continue, do you live near Loveland and want to join our networking event? The Colorado Sun is hosting a free networking evening in partnership with the Loveland Arts Creative District and Artworks Center for Contemporary Art on March 27th. RSVP today. Space is limited. Visit coloradosun.com/events and click the Loveland event button. We hope to see you there. Next, our feature story.
Hi, everyone. Happy Thursday. Welcome back here to our Thursday chats on climate and health news. I'm John Ingold. I'm the healthcare reporter at the Colorado Sun. And joining me, as always, is my colleague, Michael Booth, who covers climate and environment. Hey, Mike.
Hey, John. And our listeners should remember that they can watch their March Madness brackets with the sound down and continue listening to the podcast.
Which one's going to have more bad news this week, do you think?
Oh, I'm sure my bracket will be busted within a couple of minutes of beginning this conversation. So,
well, so you actually had some happy news this week in our newsletter, The Temperature, talking about some new open space projects that are in the works. So why don't you fill us in?
Yeah, that was fun to not talk about PFAS or ozone for a little bit and talk instead about your lottery money. Reminder to everybody that this is a result of the money that you wisely or not, spend on Colorado lottery programs, and GOCO, Great Outdoors Colorado, takes some of that money as we first voted on years ago and puts it aside for open space, for trails, for all kinds of projects meant to help Coloradans enjoy and preserve the outdoors more. So they have a part of their program called the Centennial Program, which is kind of their big ticket items that every 5 years, they have a list. And so they just released the list of what they're funding this time around. And there's some great projects that kind of go all over the state, and people can look forward to the combination of the GOCO money and their local communities putting in a lot of money to finish these big projects. Let's talk about one of them in the metro area first. So the Highline Canal goes on for 75 miles. Most of us have used it many times. It's a great jogging, walking, bicycling path that winds its way through along the Highline Canal through all of Metro Denver. And the northeast section is just not used as much in going through Denver and northeast Denver and then parts of Aurora and Adams County and Arapahoe County. And there are sections that need more money, need more investment. They don't have much shade. They're not as activated. They don't have these kind of, they call them parklets, where there's a park and then a little trail that leads onto the canal trail itself. And so GOCO is providing $7 million to the Highline Canal Preservation Group that will then add in tens of millions of dollars of their money and local government money from those areas and really activate those miles, 25 miles along the northeastern part of the canal. So that's great to hear. Another couple of big projects, high profile, that this is funding. There's another close to the metro area set of trails called the Peaks to Plains that is slowly winding its way through Clear Creek Canyon and some very dramatic sections that have already been opened up, but there's a lot of missing sections. And it's very expensive. So GoCo is going to throw $7 million of your money toward that. And then Jeffco is going to match it with hundreds of millions of dollars of money to finish eventually 16 plus miles of trails through the county. And then that will eventually link up with other areas through Clear Creek Canyon. And you will be able to bike, walk, stroll from Castlewood Canyon State Park way out on the southeast, away from cars, all that way toward Cherry Creek Reservoir, through the Denver metro area, hit the South Platte Trail, go on to the Clear Creek Canyon Trail, and you will wind up eventually at Loveland Pass. And it's a really amazing project. And the parts through Clear Creek Canyon are very expensive. You have to do cantilever bridges, and you have to protect some threatened species in the area in the way that you build it. So you will get 3 miles of trail out of that $7 million from GoCo plus hundreds of millions of dollars from Jeffco over time. But you will end up with this very spectacular project that really links the Front Range to some of Colorado's most spectacular mountain areas.
Now, there's been some criticism when we're talking the Peaks to Plains Trail about the cost, right?
Absolutely. There's been questions about whether Jeffco alone can support the sections through the county, and the GoCo response is, well, no, they can't do it alone, but nor can we do it alone. So we're using our $7 million to leverage tens of millions of dollars and hundreds of millions of dollars of spending in counties throughout the state, and we expect a local match, and we expect that dedication from local governments to prove that it's important to their constituents, and then we'll add in the last few dollars, sort of the last mile dollars, to finish off projects like that. The way that GoCo puts it is, yes, they know it's expensive. A couple million dollars a mile is a lot. But they're also talking about, you got to look at this as a 100-year proposition. You don't get to build a Colorado Trail every year. You have to plan these things out over decades. Once it's done, it's going to be a recreational asset that all kinds of people on the Front Range and in the mountains can use to go back and forth. And there's only so many chances you get to set this kind of thing aside and preserve it for the future. So the way they put it is, try to get over that sticker shock. Need to be realistic, yes, about how much it's going to cost, but also be realistic about parceling that money out over 100 years and the kinds of opportunity you're creating.
Now, I wanted to ask you about another project for this thing that sounds like it would be a great, like, old-timey Western movie, Lost Canyon. What are we talking about?
Lost Canyon, they're still negotiating on that one, so they don't have as many details available on that. But GoCo is going to contribute $3 million toward Lost Canyon, and that is something that Castle Rock has wanted to do for a long time. It's a canyon area that not that many people know about because it is on this private ranch, but it's spectacular, and it's right near Castlewood Canyon State Park, which a lot of listeners have been to, and is a really beautiful canyon area southeast along Cherry Creek. And so this will go toward the negotiations that they need to cement that, keep this ranch from being turned into a lot of sort of Castle Rock mega homes, and instead have it be preserved long term. And so we're looking forward to seeing the conclusion of that, hoping that this money will finish what they need to finish the negotiations and get that area set aside. So a lot of projects. We'll be writing more about it at ColoradoSun.com. In coming days, there are a bunch of other spectacular projects that this is funding, including a loan to Pickens County of $10 million to finish off purchase of a ranch at Snowmass, which is obviously another beautiful area that many people here love. So lots of things for us to talk about, and we'll be getting some more commentary from the people who are involved in putting this money together to create these legacy projects. John, in your part of the world, we have been reporting, and Jen Brown has been reporting on some potential expansion of some Medicaid programs that has been prompted by families of people with disabilities saying that Medicaid was just not doing its duty in serving them. What's going on with that?
Yeah, so this is a story that was originally reported by Jennifer Brown, as you mentioned, and also Tatiana Flowers, our great equity reporter. And it has to do with Medicaid, which is, of course, the joint state and federal program that is typically thought of as providing services for people who are low income, but it also will provide services for people with disabilities. And one thing that had been happening, there's been a lot of workload put on the Medicaid system lately. We've talked before about some of the eligibility redeterminations they're doing and the big bubble of those that's coming as a result of the end of COVID era policies. And what was happening is people with disabilities were falling through the cracks and they were losing their Medicaid coverage. And so this prompted not just an outcry among activists and advocates and patients and patients' families. It also prompted a civil rights complaint to the federal officials alleging violations of the Americans with Disabilities Act. So the state has now responded to this and has sent out a memo where it's detailed some fixes that it says it's going to make to its program to try to prevent these types of disenrollments, these wrongful disenrollments that are potentially happening to families, to sort of block those from happening. And of course, you can imagine what the human cost would be here if you are a family who has someone, an adult with disabilities who really depends on services. Maybe it's home care, maybe it's care at a specialty assistance center. That would be extremely expensive, of course, for you to pay out of pocket and to suddenly get this notice potentially that your Medicaid benefits that pay for this or help pay for this are going away. That would be just like an incredibly upsetting thing to be happening in your life. So the goal here is to try to make the system work better, keep people covered who deserve and are eligible to be covered, and take some of the burden off of families to try to navigate the whole system and fix things for themselves.
This was kind of a reminder from these families to the system itself that this is supporting goals that the Medicaid system in Colorado have said for a long time are part of their long-term goals, that they want to keep people in their own homes. They want to support families doing things at home instead of having to consider an institution, which is rarely a great setting, and help support the kind of expensive services that families need to stick together and do things on their own.
Yeah. And, you know, Jen and Tatiana both have written a lot about efforts by Medicaid to pay providers more to provide care in the homes. This has been a huge issue of those providers generally not receiving very much money from Medicaid for the services they provide, and Medicaid recognizing that this was leading to a turnover in providers, a lot of churn in those providers. It was leading to people not wanting to get involved in the business to begin with. And now the state has been working to try to improve reimbursement for these folks so they can get paid more. But that only works if you're actually keeping the people who need the services covered. So these things all sort of fit together. And you would hope for the sake of these families and for the sake of these individuals that things are going to start working the way they're supposed to work.
So that kind of reporting on social services, healthcare services, mental health services is part of what John does, what Jennifer Brown does, what Tatiana Flowers does, and so many other reporters at The Sun. So we encourage you to keep joining us at ColoradoSun.com to keep up on all that information. John, thanks for your reporting.
Yeah, thanks, Mike.
And everybody, keep track of your brackets. We've got Colorado State on the men's side. We've got an even more interesting, I think, women's bracket with CU Boulder, one of the top contenders this year. Got to see a game up in Boulder that was a blast with my son earlier this year. So don't sleep on the women's side. It will probably be even more interesting than the men. And good luck with your brackets, everybody.
You can read more at ColoradoSun.com. Finally, here are a few stories that you should know about today. A bill that would ban the purchase, sale, and transfer of a broad swath of semi-automatic firearms defined in the measure as assault weapons is moving through the Colorado State House. House Bill 1292 cleared its first hurdle early Wednesday morning when the House Judiciary Committee advanced the bill on a party-line vote to the full House. The vote came after 12-plus hours of emotional and heated testimony. The bill faces an uncertain future despite the Capitol being controlled by Democrats. Even if it passes the House, it may face defeat in the Senate, where it lacks a prime sponsor, a requirement. A program in Grand Junction is giving Medicaid-eligible seniors an alternative to nursing homes and helping them keep their independence. The Program of All-Inclusive Care for the Elderly, also known as PACE, helps older adults living in their homes by providing them with health care and social and emotional support. It includes primary and specialty medical care, prescription medications, physical and occupational therapy, recreation, dietary counseling, and mental health counseling. PACE has been operating nationally for more than a quarter century, and Colorado now has 5 PACE programs. A 6th was recently approved to serve Denver County. Dozens of students at Challenge School in Aurora are reviving a hobby that was hot several generations before them, crocheting. One student created a crocheting club at the school, and it has gained incredible popularity. The teens and preteens are setting aside their screens and pausing social media to pick up crochet hooks and challenge themselves to fasten yarn into pint-sized pieces of clothing. Students have crocheted hats and blankets for babies at a local hospital. The club insulates students from the ever-growing pressures of school and the never-ending noise that comes from navigating childhood in an age of technology. For more information on all of these stories, visit our website, coloradosun.com. And don't forget to tune in again next time. Now, a quick message from our team.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for listening. My name is Jason Blevins. I'm the outdoors writer here at the Colorado Sun, co-founder of the Colorado Sun. I'm on the weekly podcast with David Krause every Monday. And I also write a weekly newsletter. Comes out every Thursday. It's called The Outsider. Take a look at each issue has sort of early glimpses of stories. I got stuff on housing, high country business, high country culture, public lands, public land managers, kind of just about anything kind of interesting and happening on the Western Slope. Try to get into it. Ski industry stuff. I invite you to come check it out. It's one of the many newsletters we have at the Colorado Sun. Head to coloradosun.com/join and become a member and support the Colorado Sun. Appreciate you guys listening. Thanks.